We turn now from the economy to politics, which actually isn't much of a turn because John McCain and Barack Obama have been talking about nothing but the economy this week. Joining us once again is David Brooks of the New York Times here in the studio, and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post joins us from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be here.
Good to be with you.
What a week. You know, with people worried about their home values and the overall strength of the economy, the candidates were forced to really sharpen their economic message and also sharpen their attacks on each other. Curious to hear from both of you an assessment of how they've done this week.
Well, I guess I'll start. I was infuriated through much of the week. I thought both of them were absolutely moronic, or absolutely terrible, behaved to a complicated situation in a childish way. McCain seemed to have no grasp of what the problem was, except that there were a lot of evil people on Wall Street who had to be punished. And Obama seemed to have no grasp what the problem was, except that it must be George Bush's fault. And so I thought their initial reactions were absolutely just childish. Today, they've done a little better. Obama and McCain have both released statements, and they didn't get very far, but I thought they rose to the level of mediocrity. And so they said things are serious. They treat it like a serious situation. They treated it both like a complex situation. Both of their ways forward were very vague, but at least they treated us as voters as mature adults who could understand this is a complex situation that needs a little more than childish sound bites.
E.J., David is trying hard not to pound his fist on the table here. He's so angry. What did you think about the performance this week?
Well, you know what? I think there are two things that happened this week that are very important. The first is the large story, which is, you might say, the era of free market arrogance or Wall Street superiority is over. I was thinking this morning, Ronald Reagan's famous line, government isn't the solution. Government is to our problem. Government is the problem. And now the market is the problem. And the government was the only solution we had. And so I think there is this very large change in the economic dialogue that has made life particularly difficult for McCain. And on the McCain side, I think it was just very odd to hear McCain imitating John Edwards' populist rhetoric or Al Gore's 2000 rhetoric in flat contradiction to so much of his anti-regulatory rhetoric in the past. John McCain, as Huey Long, just to extend the metaphor, just doesn't work. On the Obama side, I think that Obama has not had a crisp message on the economy for a while, and that this week really helped him out. I think that he's finally started to figure out at least some economic message. He was stronger this week. I don't think he was quite as moronic as David suggested, but I do think he's going to have to get stronger still for that debate. It's sort of partial crispness now.
David, when Obama appeared today with his economic team, it was an interesting tableau. You had several former Treasury secretaries, including Goldman Sachs Chairman Bob Rubin. You had Warren Buffett sitting down to talk to him. For a candidate who has been all about change, cloaked himself with change throughout this campaign, he's reaching back to the past for his economic advice.
Gene Sperling from the Clinton administration. And for an old elitist like me, this was good news. And I think this is the nature of the man. He has billed himself as a change agent, and in some respects he obviously is. But I think the core, and friends of Obama's have told me this, the core of the man, he's a cautious person. And I think he has true respect for the people who've been around and have cautious, sober advice. And the people who surrounded him today were extremely the Rubinesque, centrist, moderate core of the Democratic Party. And I essentially think that's the way he'd govern. I think we have two candidates who know relatively little about economics and Wall Street. But I think we have both, and I think my hope at the end of the day, they will go to sober people. And Obama showed that today. He surrounded himself with the Democratic establishment.
E.J., you're in Michigan right now, and in your column today, you write about the challenges that Obama faces there, obviously a state where the economic news has been particularly grim of late. I'm curious, does this economic crisis change the electoral map?
I think the economic crisis on balance has tilted the election more Obama's way than it was last week. I think you're seeing that in this week's polls. And there are a lot of factors there. Palin's popularity is wearing off a little bit. The McCain's campaign has really been quite mendacious, and I think that's becoming clear. But I think the larger change is the economy, and I think this shift does help Obama in Michigan. He does not want Michigan to be about Reagan Democratic issues, social issues, or race out in the white suburbs. He wants it to be about economics. And as a friend of mine put it this morning, you know, when people hear the word depression, they seem to have a genetic tendency to go back to the Democrats, and I think that's true in Michigan. In terms of this meeting with Obama, I think that one of the paradoxes is that at a moment like this, people desperately want change because the economy's in trouble, but they also want stability in a sense that somebody who took over would be stable. And so Obama has to send both messages at the same time, that he is about change, but that he knows all the smart traditional people and will sort of change things from the inside out without turning them upside down.
David, the anger that you spoke of was evident in a column that you wrote earlier this week, and I want to ask you about this. It focused on Sarah Palin and concerns about her experience that some conservative commentators are raising, including yourself. How much of a factor will that be, her readiness, when voters actually walk into the polling place in November?
Well, I hesitate to think that vice presidents make a great deal of difference. Nonetheless, I think what we've done is we've entered a phase because of this economic crisis where the electorate is going to shift. They're going to be more nervous about the future. They're going to want change, but because of the riskiness of the economy, they're going to want maturity in the next president. And I think when they look at Sarah Palin next to the complexity of this economic crisis, well, there's a contrast there, isn't there? And they may think that about Barack Obama, too, by the way. The dynamics that this will create, to me, are extremely interesting. I think the economic turmoil will increase the desire for change. No question about that, and I do think that helps Obama. But in times of economic crisis, people retreat to safety. And to me, the race over the next 5 weeks will become much more change with safety. And I think Obama, in the first day, or at least today, has thread that needle reasonably well with personifying change, but by surrounding himself with Buffett and Rubin, who are safe individuals. And McCain has done, I think, less well with his economic plan, which was vague, but hasn't projected stability and safety over the last week.
Yes and no question, very quickly, to each of you. The candidates, obviously, this week were focused on the turmoil on Wall Street. But did they do a good enough job of calming the jitters on Main Street, where people are concerned about their pensions, people are concerned about writing that college tuition check? Did they do a good enough job doing that? David?
I would say I would give a slight edge to Obama on that right now.
EJ?
You know, I here in Grand Rapids, I think I'm as close to Main Street as you can get. And my sense is that people here are simply confused, as most of us are, about what impact is this going to have on them in the long term. I think people feel better that something big is being done about this problem. And I agree with David. I give the edge to Obama. But I think people are still waiting to figure out what this is going to mean for them.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, who joined us from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and David Brooks here in the studio. David is with The New York Times. Thanks to both of you, and have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.